Episode 161, September 8th, 2014.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody. Let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Raucous, crazy beginning. Maybe we'll explain. But either way, we're here. What's up, Joe? Nothing working tonight. Nothing. A comedy of errors, except it's not funny. It's frustrating. I wish I had something that when I'm angry, I could just break it. Like, that's the only reason I own it, is to break it. So it's not, like, expensive. But it shatters in a way that it's enjoyable to break.
Like, in case of emergency, break this?
Yeah. But all I'm doing is just releasing anger.
Right, in case of anger.
It's a great idea, isn't it, Robbie?
It's a fantastic idea.
Well, you're angry and you want to break something. And usually the second you do throw something or break it, you feel good. But then you broke something that you need or want.
Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So you're saying that they should come up with something. Well, they have that, a stress ball. That's just, that doesn't cut it for you?
No, it literally has to break, but it can't be important. Like, $10.
I hear what you're saying, but like, the remote is the best thing to throw. Agreed?
It is, but the remote, breaking the remote isn't that bad. It's if it hits something that's important.
Right. I'm just thinking you could have a remote that's, you know, one of these things that just like breaks into a million pieces, but really is whatever it hits, it's not in danger.
Well, that's what I want. I want to throw it. I want to see it shatter. I want it to no longer be able to do what it's meant to do. But I'm out $10 on some bullshit that didn't mean anything. As opposed to slamming my fist into the laptop and then that's cracked. Not that I did that tonight, but I thought about it.
So do you have any resolution? No, you don't, right?
To my problems or to that idea?
Your computer problem.
It just started working.
That's not comforting, Rob.
Well, that's what I used to do with Skype. I did nothing for a year and a half, and eventually it would just start working.
Tawanda came and messed with it, and then I went on her computer to use her computer, then her Skype wasn't working, so I had to update that. And then she thought it worked on my computer, so then I went back to my computer, and it started to work, and then it stopped again. Then it went back to her computer, and then I could get it to work, but I couldn't hear sound on my microphone. Then I came back to my computer, and then it didn't work again, so I went back to her computer, and then suddenly the internet is out on her computer, which is back-to-back to my computer, where the internet's working fine. Go figure that. So then I come back to my computer and suddenly it's working. And then we call and then I start the show awkwardly. And then Joe's missing. And then I have the break shit idea. And now you're fucking caught up. Welcome.
Here we go. I'm good to go. Everything. Now I know everything. And here's the deal. I've noticed this. You're an emotional guy. You are. Now, Robbie is too. I think I'm the least emotional by far of us three, right?
Fair.
Like, for example, I'll give you two examples. today, I was on Skype. And for whatever reason, it got logged out or whatever. Robbie texts. He'd already seen me on. He texts, are we having a show today? I mean, just to tell you what I'm saying. Like, so argumentative. Clearly, we're having a show, right? So I guess it was like 7:00.3 or whatever. And he comes. He doesn't wait an extra 80 seconds. He's like, are we having a show? So I noticed this on Saturday at the Hyatt. Hyatt, of course, being my home club, a hotel basement that seats 100. That's my home club.
No AC.
I don't like Rob doing better than me at this, but he had an A-plus set. He had the best set that you could possibly have in this room. And then I noticed, because there was a lot of people there that we knew, it carried over into the high of that, carried over into this conversation where he was dominating the conversation too. So he literally took the high from that set and brought it into just his regular life, just like this. I guarantee you, this show is going to be affected by Rob not being able to get on the computer.
But will it be negatively affected or positively affected?
It depends. I mean, if there's an argument that we have, it will help because you're going to be fired up.
Because I remember having this on again, off again with this girl. And I think we met and then she said that we were breaking up. But she still came to the show and I was angry. And I went up there and that anger turned into an amazing set. And then she took me back. But sometimes I'll be angry and get drunk and it'll be a horrible set. See, it's funny. You mentioned Saturday night. You're at the Bethesda Hyatt. You're home away from home. I was on the show with our buddy Danny Rugier from 106.7 The Fan at Funny Danny on Twitter. And we had a reunion of sorts. Not of sorts. Our buddy Andy Klein, who I started comedy with, turned 40 this past Saturday, the 6th.
Yeah, I met his wife for the first time there, too.
His wife, Elizabeth, did an amazing thing. Is that for his 40th birthday, they live in a condo. So she rented out this 6-bedroom house in Annandale, Virginia. And she invited all of us. Basically, there was a core group of us, about 7 or 8. Mike Storr.
Everybody, all the writers of Blame the Victim were there.
All the writers have blamed the victim. Mike Payne, Chad Heft. I got a pic. I'll put it up on our Twitter and Facebook at Robin Joe Show. And I mean, she literally offered to fly people in. One guy came from Idaho, Chad. He has no money. She flew him in. Okay. The others have money. So they came down from upstate New York and New York City. Some of us are local. But she rented out this condo so we could all basically stay the night for a few nights and party it up. And I hadn't seen Andy Campbell, for example, and Chad and Mike Payne, a couple of these guys in like 10 years, or at least one or two in five and a couple in 10. And I felt like more pressure to do well Saturday night because, you know, do I still have it? You know, from there, I know I do, but they haven't seen me. So I thought I was a little much harder on myself for that set. I thought it was a B-plus set. But they seem to think it was as good as what you're saying. So you guys have a great opinion. I value your opinion more than mine. So if you say A-plus and they say A-plus, fuck it, A-plus. But then I'm in that mode with them, and that's calling back when we first started comedy, that energy and that excitement and the riffing and the ball busting and the inside jokes. So that's kind of my wheelhouse in terms of being funny. So I think that's part of what spilled over.
No, you're right, it did. And that, it's funny. My friend Phil, the guy I'm moving in with, he said to me, he goes, you know what? It's amazing how important the order is. And it's true, right? I mean, obviously, you're funnier than me anyway, but the fact that you get to go next in the hot room, yeah. I knew exactly what was going to happen. And I was happy for you because all your buddies were in town. You looked like a hero.
Thank you. And I got to give more credit to Elizabeth, Andy's wife. This is the birthday party, the birthday weekend celebration, if you will. It had everything that all the things that I don't want at birthday parties, it didn't have. There's no gifts. There's no card signing. Right. Try to say something funny. There was a cake, but no candles, no singing happy birthday.
Just dessert was there then, basically.
Yeah, just a nice dessert and us hanging out. And I was like, awesome. Sweet. And
well, it looked better to me, the makings of a horrible party. Okay. So now your friends were there. That's different. Obviously, I go away with my boys, you know, Ken, Tim, Vegas, Gary, all those guys. You never show up, but we go away. So I get that. Mm-hmm. But if you said, hey, it's going to be a birthday party, Andy doesn't drink. You know, no. I think that that Chad is he's in recovery, right? So there's basically no alcohol, no drugs, no women, right? Am I correct?
Wrong. No. Well, I don't know about there's no drugs, but no, there's alcohol. I'm a drinker. Andy Campbell's a big drinker. Marby, who you I don't know if you met her the other night. She's a drinker. Tawanda was there, so there was women there.
Okay.
So no, I was up till 6 a.m. drinking. So does that count as drinking?
Yeah, that does. I take that back. And okay. Your girl was there, so I guess for you it was perfect.
Yeah, we got the master bedroom actually.
Did you have sex? You probably didn't. If you were drinking till 6 a.m., you didn't.
We did not have sex. I drank till 6 a.m. and then I got up at 10 a.m.
Now so let me ask you this:
sleep.
You go to that party. Mm-hmm. You get your own room. It's like it's almost like hotel sex if you were to have sex. If yes. For whatever reason you guys found yourself in bed at like 1 o'clock, would you have had sex?
Yeah, I would have. It wouldn't have stopped me the fact that we were in that house.
Would it have stopped her?
No, I don't think so. Right. I think if she was, because she had a few drinks, so it probably, yeah, it probably could have happened. Yeah, I would have told her to be extra loud.
It's not happening at 6 a.m., right?
No, it's not happening at 6 a.m. And I was in no position for anything to happen at 6 a.m. But it was a perfect weekend. It was really great to see these guys. And thank you, Elizabeth, for putting that together. Happy birthday, Andy Klein. Mike Stork's birthday, actually September 9th. My birthday, September 12th this week. And
Mike
on my
Stork
birthday,
is a comedian, local comedian, that our listeners, unless they're from here, have no idea who that is.
No, but he's gotten in his fifth motorcycle accident 2 weeks ago, and he's in crutches. Broken leg on crutches. But for my birthday, apparently last minute booking, I will be at Magoobie's Joke House with the star of It's Mickey, the podcast that premieres every 83 days. Actually, no, every 150 days probably. Mickey Coachella.
Oh, cool. That's this weekend, right?
Yeah. John Muma couldn't do it. Another comedian. And so therefore, I'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Magoobie's Joke House outside of Baltimore, magoobies.com. Check it out. Wednesday, cool opportunity. There's this show called Laughs, I believe. It's on Fox, sort of regional, national thing. And this guy, Steve Hofstetter, is a comedian, produces this show. And it's you get a national TV. It's on like midnight or something. You're on national TV, but you don't get any money. But he's having a show to record an episode of that, if it goes well, at the Arlington Cinema Draft House. This Wednesday night, the 10th.
So you're going to be on...
I'm going to be at a recording of this, and either three things that can happen. He'll like the recording and how it looks and how I do and how the crowd response is and use that footage for this national TV show. Or B, he will like my performance and invite me to another taping at a better venue that's more suited, because I don't think that's a great venue to shoot a TV show. It's more suited for that. Or C, I'll just do a show and he won't like me and nothing will come of it.
Well, yeah, because if I knew it was going to be, I just turned it down. Andy just sent me an email asking me if I wanted to do it. I said no.
Why would you say no?
Well, I have my kids, so Wednesday's the day that I usually don't do comedy.
Okay.
But I didn't know I had a chance to be on national TV. I'm still not going to do it, but I wish I'd known that.
Well, in the email that he sent, that it explains that. You could have read that.
He might have. I just perused. I didn't really read it.
That says a lot about us. Speaking of other national TV things, I have a last comic standing audition, me and about 50 other people at the...
Yeah, I'm not going to mention names. I was very happy for you, but then I saw some of the names on that. What happened? How did... The list is... It's not... I'm not awestruck by the list.
Well, they want a list that has every kind of person on there. Younger, older, black, white, gay, straight.
Yeah, but they don't want bad, right?
Well, I mean, for 3.5 minutes set, I mean, almost even people that are bad are funny for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, but you don't want somebody to be hilarious for 3.5 minutes and make it into a show where they have no shot at winning. They're representing DC, right? Don't you want to...
The producers don't care about that.
Do you think the comics on the comics they chose are the best comics in the area?
Some of the best are on there. I mean, there's some funny people on there.
That's true. But there's some hilarious people on there. Do you think there's some people that aren't funny on there?
You know what? I perused the list. I saw a few that surprised me, but I don't care.
Okay.
It's a long shot.
You're such a diplomat. You won't say there are unfunny people on the show.
Well, of course there are unfunny people on the show. There's they have a top 10. The last conversation, there's unfunny people in the top 10. I mean, they can't. They whittle it down from a million to 10 people, and two of those suck. So,
well, I understand that, but the people that are making the choices, you said they want to have every kind of person. I guarantee you unfunny isn't the kind of person that they want to have on there.
I don't know. Every single competition reality show, the top 10 of American Idol, three of the people can't sing every year, okay? And 15 billion people try out, okay?
Well, that's true. However, you're right. A few people can't sing, but you know who puts them through? The judges. They put them through. And for example, Sanjaya, if you were walking around and you saw him singing somewhere, you'd be like, that guy's amazing. You wouldn't think he can't sing. The only reason people think that he can't sing is because he became the whipping boy on American Idol. I'm not sure he's not amazing, but he can sing, right? But there are literally some people on that audition that I see that are not funny at all.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably be on the show and I'll be off it. So
they'll probably make it through.
Exactly. And then we'll have them on. Not that
this
we. Is,
I swear
good.
This has nothing to do with me. It doesn't.
I know it doesn't. You're right.
There are some people that I saw in there that I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm hoping that the powers that be don't think that these are the, you know, 50 best in the area.
I don't know. Maybe if I do a porno, I'll have a better. Oh wait, I'm already on the show, so I'm gonna do that. why don't we take a break? We'll come back, and hey, I think I'm in a good mood now. I'm over it, so I'm happy now. I'm over the technical difficulties. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hey, hon, it's Marianne on behalf of Old Bay. Here in Balmer, we get 1 week, maybe two, down the ocean. But that don't matter. Anytime we want to have fun, we can take a baycation. That little vacation feeling we get every time we open a can of Old Bay. Whether you're eating a pile of crabs with the family or grilling chicken with the neighbors, Old Bay just makes everything fun. Truth is, I never met a person who wasn't happier eating something with Old Bay. Say your boss was a jerk today, or maybe those little angels of yours weren't quite so angelic. No problemo, hon. Just grab a can of Old Bay and take the family on baycation. One taste on crab, shrimp, barbecue, or baked potatoes, and suddenly it's a cool summer night, the lightning bugs are out, the kids are getting along, and your husband's even doing the dishes. Ha! From Dundalk to Towson, Catonsville to my own beloved hometown, we Baltimoreans work hard. So pick up a fresh can of Old Bay and let the vacation begin.
The Robin Joe Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Joe, I have not been one that's ever worked too much in an office. But in my limited times working in an office, one of the things that I like, and maybe I like it more because I don't have it that much, is the camaraderie of the office workers. Of, we have the common enemy, the job, the customers, the boss, whatever, the loser person that we all hate that we work with. And there's this sort of worker bond. And
that's true, but you know why you feel that way, and I'll let you continue, is because you and I are similar personalities. We dominate the office. Not everybody feels the way that you do. They're the Scott Apples of the world that are the pariahs. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're built to dominate the office. Yeah. We're going to stand out in the office as people that aren't the typical office type. That we make the office a better place, not because of the work we put out, but the entertainment value and the morale, I think. But Tawanda, you know, works in an office, and like most people and most of our listeners, and she has stories about various people that she works with, and you know, a lot of them are the same people that are doing horrible things, and it's funny to me. But there's a recent one which I really struck me, and it struck me because it's funny, and it speaks to the kind of person Tawanda is, and that this past Thursday it was the opening night of the NFL. The Seahawks played the Packers, and where she worked, people generally on Friday before in football season, you'll wear your team, your Ravens, team Redskins colors, usually. Right. Yeah. But for the Thursday thing, they decided that you'd wear your team colors and you would bring some food in, some sort of potluck lunch thing. So Wednesday, everyone signs up what they're going to bring. And it doesn't have to be food. It could just be paper plates.
Sure. You can bring silverware. Exactly. You can bring napkins. Got it.
Bring a bag of chips. You don't have to make anything, but whatever. But Tawana doesn't know what she's going to make. So she puts up there something good. She ends up making chili. She's the chili champion there, returning champion. So that was great. This girl that everyone basically dislikes this woman puts up also something good. So she can't even come up with her own line.
She's stealing Tawanda's line for being able to say she's not, doesn't know what she's going to bring in.
Exactly.
Got it.
So Thursday, this woman shows up, says that she forgot to make something, but she's wearing a Redskins shirt.
So she remembered the day.
Yes.
But she's, I got it. Okay.
Okay. Then everyone's setting up, you know, putting the food out. And one of the other coworkers says to the to this woman, I don't know, we'll just call her Judy. I have no idea what her name is, to be honest.
If it's Judy, you're in trouble.
It is, yeah.
But go ahead.
So this woman says to Judy, well, I guess you won't be having any of the food because you didn't bring anything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which is, you know, pretty cold. But I
that's a catty. Point. Only women say stuff
right.
like that.
And she says, well, fine. I don't need to participate. I don't want to participate anyways, you know. If you guys wanted me to get something, why don't you give me some money and I'll go get something. Which, first of all, if you bring a bag of chips for $3, you're eating a huge meal. I mean, it's a bargain. So this
sure,
is actually
you're getting chili, just for the chili's $3, right? If you right. go to the heart of the, what is it called? The Hard Times Cafe, a bowl of chili is going to cost you $7.
Exactly. So if you're saying financials, the stress, this is the cheapest meal you're going to have all year, maybe. You know, because you're going to eat something for lunch.
You know, you can go to the dollar store and get forks, knives, and spoons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Combined. So, $1, you can get everything.
Exactly. So she kind of goes off to her cubicle, and then people start bringing out the food. It's a great spread. She's checking it out. And every day, this woman, or most days, she brings a cucumber to work that she eats or snacks on. And she takes this cucumber and she takes the skin off and she chops it up and puts it on a paper plate and says that that's her donation to the buffet. So you've got chili, you've got chicken wings,
desserts, probably
desserts.
Pizzas. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Okay, you got potato salad and then some cucumbers that's awkwardly cut that, you know, she's touched. You know, horrible, right? So she now is all proud of herself. So she goes up, she gets like three helpings. Okay. She keeps coming back, right? And she says something to Tawanda, like, see, I did bring something. And then Tawanda just gives her the, you know, really? Well, I hope you enjoyed the $20 worth of food you had for the 50 cents you contributed to this.
Oh, she, see, Tawanda's
nice
got
line, right?
Balls.
Right. So
now,
then,
did the woman saying that, because for me, I'd rather just somebody beat me out of the money than feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to Larry David it. I'm never going to do that. Now, I know Tawanda. She's somebody's like, listen, I'm not going to be taken advantage of. And if you try to take advantage of me, I will call you out, which is admirable. But I think just as admirable is not calling someone out, because I would not, I would literally say thank you for the cucumber and not deal with the awkwardness of embarrassing her. Unless it was hilarious, then I would. Does that make sense? If I could, if it would be hilarious, I would do it.
I'm in your boat. But whenever Tawanda tells me stories about putting this woman in her place, Tawanda's always clearly in the right.
Well, yeah, it's not a matter of being right or wrong. Obviously, if you said you forgot and then you go, I'm just kidding, here's a cucumber. Yeah. I mean, she's obviously wrong there.
Right.
But yeah, I don't, I mean, I'm trying to think of situations where, you know, I've been, because I will embarrass a coworker. I will do that if it's hilarious. Like, for example, I used to work with this guy. Let's just call him Edgar as an example, because that was his real name. He's the story that I tell, the joke that I tell is a 5-minute joke about me getting my vasectomy. Mm-hmm. That is a true story, but it didn't happen to me. I, of course, am not dumb enough to have masturbated prior to showing back up to the doctor's office to give my sample. He did that. He really did that. So those of you who haven't heard the joke, I say when you after you get your vasectomy, you have to go back in 3 weeks to give them a sample of sperm so they know that you don't have any swimmers. But on my way back, I realized I didn't have a sample, so I stopped off at a Burger King. This really happened to Edgar. He really went and masturbated in one of those cups that you put the ketchup in and brought it into the doctor's office. That's a true story.
In the Burger King bathroom.
The same guy, yes, the same guy, when Walter Payton died, he goes, well, if I'd known he had liver problems, I'd give him one of mine. Also, what Edgar also said was, I mean, what he also did was, remember when they first came out with those, the quarters that had the states on the back? Mm-hmm. You get Connecticut, Maryland, New Hampshire. They had all 50 states. Well, he bought a map of the United States where you could place each individual quarter for every state.
Right.
So I go over to his desk. Now, they hadn't issued all the quarters yet at this time, right? So
you're supposed to fill it in as you go, kind of.
Right, as you get each state. So I look over there, and he's got the country about half full. All George Washington sides out. He doesn't have the state showing. He has the profile of our first president. And I go, Edgar, why do you have the George Washington side? He goes, I think it looks better. I go, well, fill it up now. Why are you waiting? You just get a roll of quarters. You know, I think there's 50 in there. It's near there, right? And you just throw it all in. You're done.
I love this guy.
You should have filled it in for him.
Well, you know, I would have just filled in one of the states when he wasn't looking, he wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, here, I filled it in. I finished it for you. I got it. I know a guy at the Mint.
Situation where somebody is. Matter of fact, I know I've told the story about Mrs. Brown. God rest her soul. She's a lady that used to work with me where I work, and I loved her. Every day I'd come in and she'd put like an orange on my desk, right? And I didn't want an orange,
right?
But it was so sweet. I'm like, well, what am I going to do, right? So I go, Miss Brown, that's so nice of you, you know, but you don't have to bring me an orange. She goes, yeah, I'll bring an orange. You just bring me in a coffee. I'm like, well, I don't want to buy you. You follow what I'm saying? I didn't want to buy her a coffee. So for about, I don't know, a month.
This sounds very Larry David Seinfeld like episode.
This is really, think about it. I mean, if there's 20, it was literally $40 to bring her coffee every day. I mean, I was spending between $40 and $50 a month on Miss Brown. And finally, I'm like, enough. And every day, I'd be like, forgot your coffee. Till finally, the oranges stopped appearing and now she's dead. So that's sad, the dead part. But the part about me not bringing the coffees anymore was a wonderful thing.
But Tawanda would have just said, you know what? I don't want an orange, and so I'm not going to be getting you a coffee, but thank you. I appreciate it. And she would have nipped it in the bud, and you end up spending, you know, $80 on this woman, and now she died unhappy.
Well, I don't think that, and I loved her. She was a great person, but that was one thing where I'm like, this is just, it's getting too much. And believe me, there's merit. It's admirable what Tawanda's willing to do. But, you know, there's trade-offs. You're like, how uncomfortable am I going to be? Now, again, for humor, I'll be pretty uncomfortable. But just to try to make justice occur, I'm not interested.
Well, it turns out this woman, actually, she ended up staying later that night. She took some food home to feed to her husband. And then someone had brought ice cream sandwiches that were in the freezer, and she had one of those today. So she's gotten a lunch, two dinners, and a dessert out of this for her cucumber.
Out of that cucumber?
Yeah. There's that Too Stupid TV show where it's such a dumb concept. It's on like History Channel or Discovery. Where these guys, they just trade shit. They're like, you know what I want? I want a new car. I'm going to start with this bottle of wine from 1987. It's worth $800. And then they find some douchebag online. You know what? You're a wine guy. How about I'll trade you this bottle of wine for that jet ski? Then they turn the jet ski into something bigger. And next thing you know, they start off with a bottle of wine, and they got a friggin' Dodge Dart. That's what this woman did basically with the cucumber. She got a hell of a feast for a nasty fucking cucumber. No ranch dressing, no blue cheese, nothing that you need to dip the cucumber in to make it actually somewhat enjoyable. No, just a dirty, nasty cucumber. And she ate like a fucking champ for three nights. Fuck her. Go Tawanda.
Well, the woman, it's always like, Katie and I went to Morton's the other day when I had a show, Surprise at the Hyatt, right?
Right.
And we saw a guy who sent back his entire steak. He ate his entire steak. Then he called the manager over and complained about the steak, and he got a steak paid for.
I hate those people.
However,
it works.
He's a horrible person, but if you're willing to do it, you can get free steak. You follow? That's the thing about this lady that she works with. Yes, she's awful, but she's also getting meals. I remember we used to go out to, we used to take a client out to dinner. I mean, out to lunch back in my old business when I did electronics. Mm-hmm. And this client would get lunch. We'd pay for it. And he'd go, hey, you mind if I get a to-go from me and my girlfriend tonight? And he would order food for that night for him and his lady friend. Now, I never was the person picking up the bill. It was always my boss.
Sure.
But I was always like, are you kidding me? But, you know, it's is he willing to ask it? Which he was. And then guess what? They were willing to pay it. So he got a free lunch.
There are people that are, I don't know if they're just wired that way, but they're willing to do that shit. And it usually pays off for you. But I feel like I couldn't do it. Part of me would die. I just feel like, what's going on with my life?
I'm going to do a little, there's no segue, but I'm non sequitur, just real quick. If you're listening to the show, not live, you're listening to it, you're downloaded it or you're listening to it on Stitcher, pause it right now and please go to my Facebook page and watch the video that our friend Chris Restivo put up prior to the Vikings game. I'm just asking that be done. I didn't have time to ask Robbie to get the audio of that, but I just want, this is a little present for the listeners. Go to my Facebook page. It should be maybe 5 or 6 posts down on my wall or whatever. And it's Chris, a day before the Vikings play, excited about his team. That's all. Just go take a look at it.
Or better yet, I'll put that video on our Facebook, The Rob and Joe Show, and our Twitter, a link to it. But Chris is a big Vikings fan for no reason. He has no relation to the state. He's never been to Minnesota, as far as I can tell.
I don't know that he's been out of Maryland, to be honest with you.
It would be shocking to me if he's ever been to more than to Maryland. Maybe he got to Atlantic City.
Can I just make a couple comments about it? There's two things that I love about the video. First of all, he's clearly whispering because the language is so foul. My guess is that his parents, he can't have his parents hear him doing this.
Right.
The second thing I love is at the end, he goes, and let me tell you, and he says he's fouling, he has one finger up, okay? And he goes on and on. Then he puts the finger down and he says, the Vikings are number one. So meaning he holds the number one up for about, I don't know, 10 seconds while he just says the foulest things you've ever heard. Then he puts the number one down and then says that they're number one. So I think I'm not doing it justice.
But doesn't he sing some sort of fight song that I didn't know that they had? Or is he making it up?
I said the same thing to Joe. I did not know the Vikings had a fight song, but apparently it's a real fight song. He's playing it on his computer and singing along with it.
It's not a very good fight song.
No, it's horrible.
Maybe I'm sure he's not helping it.
No.
His phrasing isn't helping it.
No, but I concur with Joe. You got to see the video.
Well, tell you what, the Vikings, you know, they had the most impressive week one victory out of any team, probably. They were underdog on the road, and they dominated the Rams. So, you know, if they keep winning, we'll play the video until they lose a portion starting next week. If they go 16-0, they're going to have that fight song memorized. A couple things from some shows recently. When you had the show at the High Tops with Mickey Cachell and a bunch of people, I went there to watch and hang out. And afterwards, there was this woman. We were all talking. Yeah. And she says to me, she goes, hey, great set. And I said, oh, I wasn't. I actually wasn't even on the show. And then I said jokingly, oh, no, she said, oh, there's a guy that I thought it was you. I go, no. I said, no, he must have been really good looking, though. She goes, no.
Now, I want to know who she thought you were. She obviously thought you weren't good looking.
Right. I was afraid to know at that point.
Well, she couldn't have thought you were Tommy Cimbazzo. And for those listeners who aren't in the area, Tommy Cimbazzo, he looks like a Renaissance Festival guy, right?
Yes.
He's got like a pointy beard and mustache. He wears studded leather clothing, right? Then there was another guy on the show, Sonny Fuller, who is what people affectionately refer to as a wigger.
But Sonny's a decent looking guy.
No, he's not bad looking.
Yeah.
But he has baggy clothes and he's speaking. There's no way somebody could have mistook you for Sonny Fuller.
He's thinner than me. He's got much better shape than me.
Was she hot, Rob?
No, so I didn't care.
Mickey was also on the show.
Well, yeah, he's 5'3".
I was on the show.
Maybe it's you.
There was a hot chick on the show.
Maybe it's her.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, and there was a big fat guy, the very first guy.
Oh, that's him. There we go.
I think that was it, right? Oh, no. Jay Sheck. Was that how you say his name? Jay
Sheck. He's short. He's much shorter than me.
Yeah, he looks like Mickey. He doesn't look like you.
There's this guy, Tyler, but he's like 21 and he's good looking.
Yeah, there's no way.
Can't be that guy.
I mean, I guess I would be the most likely, you think? No, but I wear glasses. I don't know.
But
was
I didn't want
to. Was she hammered?
She had some, yeah, she was friends with Walker Hayes. They were drinking.
I remember that. She was like Hispanic looking, that one.
She's the one that Mickey said that he likes big girls, and she goes, well, you know, I can be your big girl, basically. That kind.
I remember her.
Yeah, she's not someone that I was upset that didn't find me attractive.
What would you do if there was a show and it was the same circumstance, but then they go, oh, there's the guy, and it was Chris Restivo? What would you do?
I would open with it on tonight's show. What would you do if we go on stage? We're both single, and I destroy, and this is a drunk girl. She's super hot. And she comes up to you referencing my act.
Right.
Say, oh, I love that joke you told about your former black girlfriend, whatever. And you just own it.
Oh, I'm single? Yeah, no, I totally hook up with that. Yeah, totally.
At what point do you tell her? Like, what if you start dating and she's coming to see our shows now? Do you start having to tell my act? What?
Well, does she fall in love with me? Because at that point, I'll tell, sure. I go, well, you love me now. It's too late.
What if she's talking to you? And she's, oh, my favorite joke. She lists all the jokes that I tell. She goes, but I didn't like that one guy. And she starts listing your jokes.
I go, yeah, that guy wasn't too good. Yeah, no, I completely say, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I've been working hard on my act. The other guy you talked about, he quit for 4 years. So, you know, he's rusty. That's all. I've just got booked for the last Comic Standing audition. Don't worry about who's on the show. I'm working with Mickey Coachella at McGoobies. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He does the It's Mickey podcast, and then I invite him back to Odenton. Invite her. Clearly, it's a her, right? Okay.
It's not Odenton. You're in Columbia at this point. You're moving in.
That's right. Invite her to Columbia.
And then she bangs Phil, and we're both losers. How long? But at some point, you got to fess up, though. If you start dating, she's going to see our acts.
Yeah, but then I'm me. You follow at that point, I can go, look, you know, that wasn't really me. You know, I was the other guy. But, you know, now we know each other. We're dating. It's a big deal.
I feel like we just, that's the premise of an awful romantic comedy.
You're right.
That would make
And I got to fess up. By the
it
way,
would make $100 million, dollars, by the way.
That's the premise of every romantic comedy.
Yes.
They either don't like the guy, then they like the guy. They like him under false pretense. He begs her back, and he gets her back.
Yeah,
every single romantic comedy.
I can't. Let's write it. I'll get the blame the victim guys, and we'll work on that script. I did a show I mentioned last week in Winchester, the Bright Box Theater, and some great shows in the late show of the Saturday late show, the last show of the weekend. The smaller crowd, but they're a fun crowd. There's this group of seven people to my left, all. 25 to 35 attractive couples and one woman who's a lesbian. And, you know, I figure that out just by talking to her. And so I'm having a little fun with her. I say, is there another lesbian in the crowd that I can hook her up with? And this guy with a wife beater and a beard goes, me. Okay. So I'm having fun with that this guy's a lesbian. And I'm like, wow, you are looking awful, man. So it's a fun set. I'm fucking around a lot, but it's a good set. I go out, I get off stage, I go into the lobby bar area. There's the bearded lesbian guy. I say, hey, my lesbian buddy. He's like, come on, man, that's all you had? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, no, come on, were you holding back? Come on, man, that's the best you got? I'm like, what are you? I thought, no, it was a good set. What are you talking about? He goes, man, I mean, look, I play fiddle in a band, so I know what it's like. Okay, you know, to perform in front of people and some crowds like this, but you gotta do better than that, man. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm like, well, you are being rude. He goes, well, this is just who I am. I said, well, then do you mean to be who you are? He goes, yeah. Well, then you mean to be rude,
of course,
if you right. And he goes, you gotta go more than that, man. You're way too Christian, man.
Okay, hold on. That's ridiculous, but I want to go back a little bit before I try to understand that. Did you have a bad set?
No, I had a good set.
Because when he first said you got to do better than that, I thought he thought you were going to come at him when you said, hey, it's the lesbian or whatever. When he said you can do better than that, I thought you meant he was saying, well, you can do better than addressing me that way, like you would address him in a more hilarious way. But that's not it. When he said you can do better than that, he was talking about your performance because he plays the fiddle.
Yes. So then he says that I was too Christian. And I probably told 2 anal sex jokes in that 30-minute set. Okay, I've been accused of a lot of things in comedy, but never being Christian at all, let alone too Christian.
I'd love to dissect that, but that guy, he's just an idiot. You know what I mean? You know people, the same people mm-hmm. that come in and go, like at the Hyatt, somebody goes, I'm a heckler. And I go, well, don't heckle. You know what I mean? Don't do that. There was
a manager there. They asked him to leave. So then in between this early and the late show, a bunch of us had gone right next door to this Mexican place. And some of the crowd, this meetup group that comes to every one of these comedy shows every month. They go over there and then they buy you a drink. All right. So we go in between. So I didn't know that they had bought the drink because I had to leave in the middle of this little pre-show party, middle of show party, and go do my set. So I went back there thinking I owe for a margarita. I got to pay my tab. Well, that guy's there. So, okay. Now I run into him again. And he's like, dude, I'm sorry, man. No, it was great. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
Oh, I thought he was going to stick with what his guns. Listen, I'm sorry, but I got to say what I got to say.
And then, so I get out of that. Then the show's over. I walk outside. He's fucking there again. So this is a third encounter. Everywhere I go, I see.
Tell him about your last comic standing audition.
I'll tell him. Maybe he can be there. DC Improv Loud, September 27th, 8 p.m. show. Tickets are selling out. Then I do a show Friday night at a golf club in La Plata, Maryland. And it's about, I don't know, 30 miles outside DC, I guess. And it's like a happy hour, 6:30 show, get in and get out, do 45 minutes, fucking take my $200, head to my other show. And if you do a show with all men, which is what a golf thing is going to be generally.
Sure.
I used to think, and I've been proven wrong, and now I know otherwise, that it's going to be this sort of like, we can bash women pep rally. It's guys talking and yeah, fuck women, man. Yeah, wives suck. And a lot of my jokes are kind of about that and making fun of sexual things and stuff. And I realized though that you need women there for the men to laugh because I'm struggling.
And for them to know it's okay.
Yeah. There's two servers there that are females. They're cracking up.
They're fine.
Yeah, and at one point I'm like, look, I said, look, you fucking retard. I think I said morons. they're laughing at these jokes that are sort of about them. Why aren't you laughing? What's wrong with you?
It's funny.
You're here at a golf country club. You don't like golf. You want to get away from your wife and kids. So fucking relax.
Mickey does a lot of racial material, but always, and that's the thing I've heard him say, literally probably heard him say it 50 times, where at first you get a little bit of, is this okay? He goes, guys, the black people are laughing. It's okay.
Yes.
It's true. If there's nobody there that's the barometer to say, look, this is okay to laugh at, then they're like, is this cool? Can we do this?
Yeah. You need women there. And then we're wrapping up the show now, but the guy had sent Irwin, he's the booker, an email with a list of things to make fun of everyone about. And like there was a guy who was getting married to another guy's daughter. So I was having fun with that. You know?
Okay, that's actually funny.
Yeah, I said, do you guys want a dirty joke? How dirty? The guy goes, really dirty. I guess, well, he's fucking your daughter tonight. Okay.
So did they laugh at that?
Yeah, that crush, right? But and then I open it, right? And I think I'm going to read these things. I'm going to read a couple that are real. And they're like, you know, Steve, you know, took a dump in the back of his pickup truck. And you know, this guy, he's can never hit it straight. Whatever. And I make up one. I use the real guy's name, full name. I don't forget what it was. And Kevin Bickerstaff blew a guy in the 14th green.
Okay.
Nothing. And I'm thinking that's going to crush.
Of course. You're like, well, at least I got this can't miss right here. When Kevin Bickerstaff, I accuse him. Why? Because he's really gay.
I don't know why, but it got really weird, like almost like maybe he's the kind of guy that would have done that. Like, I don't know. He's just a name on a piece of paper. I don't know who he is. I don't even know if he's there. But then I was like, all right, I got 42 more minutes. Fuck. But that's comedy, people. Last comic standing. Here I come. Again, Magoobie's Joke House with Mickey Coachella.
This happened early on.
Yeah, this happened. I opened my set with that. I you know, welcome, such and so sent us this email, and let me read off, and this is so and so. And then I threw that one in as like the third or fourth one, which is obviously a joke, and they got nothing.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. I have more questions, but so you're at Magoobie's this weekend? Yeah. I have no show this weekend. I'm moving.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I have no update on my WBAL show other than I haven't heard a peep. So,
good job.
You remember I said to you, I go, listen, every single time this guy said something is going to happen, it's happened.
It'll happen.
So much so that I talked about it on the Mike O'Mara show.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard. It's been like a church mouse.
Well, maybe Ninen's ploy has worked. See you guys next week. Rob and Joe show later.
I'd see ya.
The preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at moorebroadcasting.com.